All right, so we got the MVP tracker going on still. Is it going to be Nikola Jokic or is it going to be Joel Embiid? Now, based on, I don't know when this was updated. I like to follow NBA.com's Kia NBA MVP tracker or whatever. And they still have Joel Embiid listed as the favorite. And of course, they did add in that he missed Monday's anticipated showdown with Nikola Jokic due to right calf tightness. I guess my question for that is, if it's a playoff game, is he playing? Is he playing if it's a playoff game? Yeah, he's playing. He had his last game out, he had 28 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals in their loss in Phoenix. He leads the league in scoring with 33.3 points per game. They're currently in third place in the Eastern Conference. And again, you're looking at the coin flip here. Joker had another great night last night, 25 points, 17 rebounds, 12 assists. I predicted 23, 14, and 10. I would have had it, I would have been off by 2 points had they had not all had to come back in to finish that off. Because I thought Joker's night was done. But it was not. They had to bring everybody back in. I would have had my prediction right on. Didn't even put money on it. Just bet on Twitter. Just set it on Twitter. I'm going to do it every game now.
So this thing about Embiid not playing, some people say, oh, he didn't want to, or he's ducking Jokic. Others say, well, it's not his decision. Whatever the case, this was a big-time game. And you knew this game was going to be a big-time game. You knew it a week ago. So why play against Phoenix when the real game you needed to win was against Denver?
Right.
MVP doesn't matter to me.
Phoenix is a Western Conference team just like Denver is, but Denver is the MVP challenge for you right now. So why not sit out
the MVP
game?
Doesn't matter to him, but I need to do an interview telling why I should win MVP, but I'm not going to play the current MVP in his own house.
Do I think that Joel Embiid was ducking Nikola Jokic? No.
Yes.
I don't think he was ducking him. Dude, a guy like that's not afraid of Nikola Jokic.
Why hasn't he played him in Denver?
I think he's ducking the altitude. I think he's ducking the altitude.
Real MVP would play at altitude and
I think
level.
I think if anything, there was a concern that he wouldn't be up to his best in that game, and Joker might outshine him, and you can call it Joker, you can call it the altitude. Shaq will tell you right off the bat, he would always foul two times in a row in the first period in Denver just so he could sit on the bench for the rest of the half. I mean, fair or unfair, good or bad, whatever, but I just think Joel Embiid, but that's what's so bizarre to me. He's that good of a player. He can have a bad game and still have 25 points. If Joel Embiid would have scored 20 points last night, and had, let's just say, 14 rebounds and 5 assists, Joker would have had better numbers, but I still don't know that that would have just destroyed the conversation.
I think all he would have had to do was score more than Jokic. Because that's what the casual fan's going to look at. Say, oh, head-to-head, more points, all right.
What if he just would have scored 23 and 14 rebounds and 4 assists? Would this conversation be over?
Probably.
See, and I think it'd still be very close. Just like the matchup between them last time, Joker still had a pretty good game. Just Joel Embiid was the reason.
The rest of Jokic's team didn't show up for that game.
Right, and Embiid was the reason Philadelphia won. So, do I think that Joel Embiid, like I was having fun with it too. Tweeting the scared emojis and all that stuff. I'm having fun with it.
I love the little wanted poster those kids made.
It's hilarious. It was great. Very creative people in this world. And why not have some fun with it? It's sports, right? We're not jerks about it. We're having fun.
What I thought was interesting last night, Jokic had 11 free throws.
Yeah, he got to the line, huh? Yeah, I mean, he doesn't
do
that.
You think the refs were preemptive? Like, oh, we probably have to call both of them. Oh, wait, Embiid's out?
Yeah, I'll just give them all. Give Joker's free throws to Embiid.
Exactly.
I saw something on ESPN. Who was it? Said one of the... The stats are deceptive for Joker. They lead you to believe that he plays pretty good defense.
I saw that headline.
What was it?
It's like the truth behind Jokic's game or something
that
like
he's
that.
It's deceptive.
It's deceptive because you're not used to seeing a guy that size.
His defense
move
is deceptive.
Way.
The box score would tell you that he's a great player, but if you just watch him, you see that he's a great player. Is he the best defensive player in the NBA? No.
But he's not.
But he can come up with defensive plays.
Yeah, and he's not posting up every single person that comes into the paint. He uses his size and his length to fill up the space
right.
in the paint. He's not going to go one-on-one with you unless you back into him. Otherwise, he is rotating and making the space.
Well, so there was that one. There was the kicking, raising his leg up to try to mess up pass lanes. If the ball hits
That's
your
strategy.
Foot, if the ball hits your foot, it's kicking.
If you're
you take
if you're,
the ball out of bounds.
If you are more often going to bounce pass to your teammate, I am going to stick my leg out more often.
Yes.
Because the chances are I'm going to hit the ball.
And their response was, you know, you can't drop kick. It's like, it's called kicking. If it touches your foot, even on accident, it's kicking side out of bounds. So when I played high school, if you blocked a pass, if you put your foot in a pass lane and knocked it out of bounds, and they called kicking, coaches clapping. Great job. Your job as a defensive player is to disrupt. And that, if you legally, you can't kick the ball. But it's not a foul or a tech or anything. It's just kicking or out of bounds. So yes, is just like blocking a shot, it's out on you, but you blocked the shot. It's still their possession. It's essentially a blocked pass with your foot. So there was that. Now it's the box score is deceptive, would lead you to believe that he's a great player, but he's really not a great defensive player. So now that's what we're doing. So now that's because he's not Gary Payton out there. He's not the MVP.
So we're changing not the qualifications, but the requirements of MVP. It's not the best scorer. It's not the best stats. It's, well, now you got to be a top. You got to be the best defensive player in the league.
Yeah.
No, you can play both because you have to play both as a basketball player. You're not going to be number one on offense and defense.
Will you be disappointed if Joel Embiid's named the MVP? Or will you get it?
At this point, I would get it. I would be disappointed just as a fan of Jokic, but as an unbiased person, as someone that, you know, follows sports media, I get it. Because yeah. that's where the trend has been the last couple of weeks. Obviously, we're having this discussion today. If Jokic keeps going, if the Nuggets keep winning, you know, four or five more games in a row, lock up the one seed, then I think it's Jokic's. Embiid would have to do a lot to make up for this game that he missed. Because that's going to be what people are going to use against him.
Yeah, looking at...
Whether it's true or not, you didn't play against the defending MVP in his own house.
They play Dallas tomorrow night. That's going to be on ESPN.
What happened to Dallas?
Don't know. Did they lose last night? They were up big when I was looking. I was watching for a brief second. And then Luka's, you know, he's getting technicals left and right, and That team feels like they should be much better than they are.
They did not play last night.
Didn't play last night?
They played Monday and they lost. Or they beat the Pacers.
Last night was Monday.
Oh, I'm looking at it. Why did it show me Wednesday?
I don't know, but they played the Pacers. I thought they played the Pacers last night.
They did. And they beat the Pacers.
And they did.
127-104.
They were on a four-game losing streak before that. But it was close in the first, and then I started watching, and, you know, Luka had a nice game, and then they started pulling away in the second. Yeah, I tell you, for Joel Embiid, he's going to have to come out and have a monster game against Dallas. I mean, a monster game to make up for Monday. I mean, you can't miss games now, whether it's injuries or not. Dixon texting in, for me, it comes down to this. I love Joker and hope he wins. But for Joker to dominate a game the way he plays, their guys have to knock down shots and score. Joker's game is not designed to get 40 points every night, even if he posts up all night. Giannis and Embiid can score 40 every night and dominate a game. Also, Joker is not a rim protector, and people want to see that out of the big guys. Yeah, well, my point a couple of months ago or a month ago was when Joel Embiid did have a better game than Joker in that one-on-one was if I'm going street ball right now, Joel Embiid versus Nikola Jokic in street ball one-on-one, I'm taking Joel Embiid. I'm taking Giannis. One-on-one. But you're not wrong in the tech. Joker's a better basketball player because he uses his tools. He's a better five-on-five basketball player because he uses the tools around him to succeed. If he decided he's going to score 40, I still think he could. He's just going to have double teams all night long. But instead, he gets his teammates involved, knowing that if a Jamal Murray in rhythm is better than a Jamal Murray out of rhythm, then I'm going to get that going in the first. Michael Porter Jr., same way.
Yeah, I mean, like Dixon just said there in the tweet, Jokic is dominant in another way. He's not dominant in if he makes an assist out to MPJ or Jamal for three. That's a three for them, and Jokic just gets the assist. But that's the part of because he gets 10, 12, 13 plus assists every night. That's what makes him dominant is because the team around him feeds off of his ability to make those plays.
Right. And the other thing is ESPN wanted to say, hey, how many assists to the assists does he have?
Hockey assists.
Which is silly. We don't take that stat. Well, here's the stat that we don't take either, but if we're going to create stats out of our butt, then here's one. How many missed assists has he had this year? How many guys has he passed open for wide open threes or wide open layups, Bruce Brown, and missed? If you want to talk about assist to the assist, then you got to talk about missed open assists. And I'm not talking about an assist for a tough shot that's just missed, but an assist to a wide open guy, whether three-point shot or in the paint, missed dunks, whatever. How many of those have we missed? There's five or six of them last night.
Well, how many of those turn into almost triple-doubles?
Or and ones. Or right. Not and ones, but they turned into, they would have been a bucket, but it was such a hard foul that it sent him to the free throw line.
Yeah, instead of 3 point at the free throw line, you're getting four the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, so listen, it's close. It's close. I'm not gonna get out on Twitter if Joel Embiid wins this thing and say the system is rigged. Because Joel Embiid has played his butt off and is a damn good freaking player. He's ridiculous.
If we're talking in terms of a horse race, Embiid pulled away in the last stretch a little bit, but Jokic is closing quickly.
Is it like in Cars where Lightning McQueen's going to have to stick his tongue out at the end?
I think so.
Joker's going to have to stick his tongue out?
I don't think he'll have to stick his tongue out, but I think he will win it by a fair enough margin.
Well, if you think about that race, though, that actually sticking the tongue out was just to tie it.
Yeah, and that was a three-person race.
It was a three-person race. Lightning thought he had that crap in the bag, but then they came out and then they said, it's a three-way tie. You guys are going to meet up later on, and away we go. We're going to have just three cars racing for the title, for the cup, for the Piston Cup. And then crap went south when freaking Mack truck there falls asleep on the interstate. You know, so, next thing you know, sorry, to so, trail.
So Embiid is Chick Hicks. Jokic is Lightning McQueen.
He's Lightning McQueen.
And Giannis is the king.
Although Joker doesn't have the mannerisms of Lightning McQueen. Lightning was cocky and was like, yeah, I don't need help.
He was a young kid.
Joel Embiid's probably more like Lightning, but at the end, when Lightning learns who he is, using people around me, it's going to make me better. That's Joker. Joker's the new version of Lightning McQueen.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Embiid is Chick Hicks.
Yes.
Because he's the, I should have won the race.
Giannis is fairly quiet for the most
part. He's the king.
And he's just kind of like.
You got the MVPs, you got the final, you're above the other two.
Mr. the King. You know, Mr. the King.
There we go.
19 minutes after the hour, let's talk to the king of UNC football broadcasting, Blake Olson, the voice of the Bears. They were in action for their first spring game of our spring practice. I've been saying game all day of the spring schedule. We'll talk to Blake, see what he saw out there. We'll talk to him about the quarterback position, Ed Lamb, all of it coming up next. Blake Olson joins us. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Tanner Schwint this spring for Preps Baseball. A Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
It's a lot to keep track of. We still got the Final Four coming up. We got the Nuggets and the Avs on their quest, perhaps. The Avs try to win back-to-back. The Nuggets, of course, maybe could win their first title ever. That's exciting, too. But also, we got football to talk about. We're in spring football mode. As I was freezing my butt off this morning, Blake also was freezing his butt off last night. The voice of the UNC Bears. Blake, my man, the Bears are getting after it with their spring spring practice as well.
Oh, my. I'm speechless because, man, I haven't been that cold in a long time. Last night at UNC, that wind was picking up, and all, you know, it was blowing that snow. It had to have been 10 degrees out there when those kids were practicing last night, and they had a great workout in their day one workout and their day one spring practice. But I was freezing, Brady, and my fingers, I swear, I suffered some frostbite somewhere along the way.
Well,
the tough thing about spring, though, you know, it's just so difficult in Colorado to play baseball, to run track, to have spring football. It's tough, man, but I credit those kids.
Well, yeah, and you know, clearing off the snow and getting after it out there too.
Yeah,
and then you were able to put together some great footage for us to check out from last night as well. So, Blake, I mean, first impressions. This is Ed Lamb's, you know, first kind of introduction here with this team. We get to see what it's like with spring ball and everything. So, what stood out to you? I mean, again, it's spring ball. It's day one. How much can really stand out to you? But were there a couple of things that you caught that you're like, oh, that's interesting?
Well, I agree with you. I mean, the number one rule that I've always learned is in spring football, you take it with a grain of salt because, you know, you have 10 or 15 guys in rehabilitation typically, you know, and that's what I saw yesterday, including notables like Ty Arrington and Joe Brown, the defensive lineman, and Alec Pell, the great tight end. But what stood out to me was that Ed Lamb not that Ed McCaffrey wasn't, but Ed Lamb is a professional and buttoned up all the way to the top professional, and he has total control of his program and his coaches and the players, and they're going to command respect, and that's what I noticed. He doesn't, you know, obviously a lot of head coaches aren't going to say a lot during a practice or a first spring practice. Some will, but he's not that vocal type that I have seen so far. But you know what? I think I've had maybe three or four people in the last 2 months tell me that Ed Lamb basically ran BYU's program. I mean, and I heard it again last night. And he was the assistant head coach, and he's not LDS, so he's not in the church. I think, you know, he probably was next in line for that head coaching job, but because he's not a Mormon, I don't think you can be a head coach at BYU unless you're LDS, from what I understand. But, I mean, UNC got a guy with, we already know, great experience, and the resume is incredible, and what he did at Southern Utah was incredible. So I think they got the right guy. It's a professional atmosphere, and they had a great practice from what I could tell yesterday.
Yeah, and you know, just talking about that more, and again, you know, I think, Blake, you do a great job not to, you know, the Ed McCaffrey time's done. We're not throwing him under the bus or anything, but, you know, you said it. Ed Lamb is a professional. And I even go back to the spring game last year, Blake, the game itself. You know, we were told to be out. We were going to broadcast that. We did broadcast it. We were told it was going to start at 10. It didn't start till 11. So you're telling me that kind of stuff probably not going to happen. If this is the time, this is when we're going to be there, probably 20 minutes early.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, it maybe you will be on military time. Who knows? but I get that feel. There's no question about that. I also heard him say to one of the trainers, which I think is poignant and important here. I think one of the trainers said, "Well, you know, we'll get you special treatment." And he said something to the fact that, "Hey, listen, I don't want you to ever treat me special. Okay, I want you to treat me like everyone else. Everyone is treated the same. So, I mean, just little things like that. And once again, I love Coach McCaffrey. I love everyone on his staff. So, you know, it's just it's the nature of the business. And I just, you know, I like this coaching staff, and the players seem to be responding. And every one of the players that I talked to were, you know, were overjoyed to be back out there, and they were happy with the staff. And you know, I think that's a great sign also in the transfer portal era. I was very happy just to see 20 or 30 you know, familiar faces, players who are returning. A lot of guys who are going to be great leaders and are great, great leaders right now. So I think it's refreshing. I think UNC fans should be optimistic. And at the same time, you know, that's what you do in the spring and in the preseason.
Blake Olson joining us, the voice of the UNC Bears football team. And how much of those guys did you get to talk to as far as the players and everything? You mentioned a couple of those guys that stood out. But, you know, again, you just wonder how much on day one do you get that vibe? Do you get that feel for what this is going to be like? Because we're talking about Ed Lamb coming from a completely different program, BYU. I mean, we're talking fairly big-time college football, and Ed McCaffrey, of course, had the 2 years of high school experience before. So you're going to see a lot of that learning on the fly stuff, not so much learning on the fly. I mean, this is stuff that we already know, so now you get a chance to talk to some of these leaders that I'm sure he's delegating things to.
Yeah, I think a lot of these guys have impressed him, and that's great to see. I mean, I think of a guy like Nick Norris, the defensive lineman, from Fort Morgan, who I don't want to jinx him or anything, but I mean, this is, to me, he's a guy, if he, you know, gains 10, 15 pounds, he may have a chance to play in the NFL in a couple of years. I mean, he's that tight. His motor doesn't stop. He's an unbelievable leader. He is positive. He is, you know, one of those guys that they'll turn to, I'm sure. I'm sure Coach Lamb is happy to see guys like that, you know, returning, you know, to this program. He's been in the weight room. They've been in the weight room for 10 weeks now. So Vincent King, another one of those guys, and Jordan Napke on defense. I mean, and you look at Tamatuatelli, that, you know, here's a Division I linebacker, a legitimate, you know, a guy who transferred a season ago from Navy. And, man, it's so good to see him on the field and healthy with those three other guys. And the corners and DBs look good. Tywan Harris obviously has matured a lot, made some big plays. Cam Murray is back out there, a veteran leader, extremely mature, great football IQ. And Tyzell Lewis is a playmaker as well. So, I mean, they have the core. And then, you know, the first thing you look at on offense, of course, you have to look at the quarterbacks. And obviously, you're looking for Jacob Sermon. And this dude was out there. And this is crazy. But, I mean, true enough, he's throwing the football. But, I mean, it couldn't have been 10 degrees out there with the wind chill. But he has his sleeves cut off, and he didn't seem affected at all. I love how he threw the ball. Shea Kuykendall. He was the third or fourth quarterback last year. He's probably going to be that second or third quarterback this year. He threw the ball well. Two, you know, really quality quarterbacks. So Sermon's going to be fun to watch, and I think the coaching staff really likes him. But, you know, I love the fact that they, you know, they weren't going out there searching for every, you know, new player in the portal. Man, they kept it pretty steady. And I think that's, you know, good to see for Bears fans.
Blake, is Jacob Sermon, I mean, again, we're kind of just assuming he's the guy, right? Is he going to be the quarterback for this team, the starting quarterback?
Well, I would think so. I mean, unless someone comes in and just, you know, shocks the coaching staff in the summer or in the spring, one of those guys, Kuykendall or the two others that I saw out there, you know, just impress him. But Sermon, man, I mean, he's got a strong arm, obviously, arguably the strongest arm that they've had in the past 3-4 years. He can move. He's athletic. He has extreme. He has unbelievable confidence. Really smart guy. And yes, I would say that he's going to be their guy. But that doesn't mean he can't change. And you always have to have 2 or 3 quarterbacks
sure
ready. So it's going to be fun. I mean, you know, they'll be fun to watch, and they're going to be disciplined. One of the great things, you can see it on the video. I don't know if you caught this, but I love this. And I've heard this from 2 or 3 coaches in the past year. But this my bad stuff, you know, my bad. I'm gonna pump my chest. That has just killed me for the past 20 years. And this is here's another the offensive coordinator yesterday saying, we're not doing this my bad stuff, right? We're going to fix it. We're going to do it. We know it's your bad. If you ruin the play, or you drop the ball, or you didn't execute properly, we know it's your fault. It's your bad. Let's fix it. So I heard that from a high school basketball coach at the state tournament a few weeks ago, and I'm just laughing to myself, like, oh, finally, we're starting to get rid of that thing, you know?
Well, Angel, write that down. Now we know what not to say in front of Blake. Can you just write that? We got the words to write down. We got to take that. Blake, you're telling me, I'm watching the video now. Amazing work by you. I just love your video work. And I know you and I are, you know, in the lab. We're working on some ideas maybe for next year. Because you just do a fantastic job with this. And I'm seeing Jacob Sermon going sleeveless, pulling them up, suns out, guns out. You mean to tell me you didn't go sleeveless last? I just assumed you were out there sleeveless, man.
That is the worst look. I'm sorry, man.
You gotta let those guns breathe once in a while, Blake.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I kind of consider myself a little bit of a cowboy. I always wanted to be a cowboy, but man, that is just a stupid look. I apologize.
Everybody else has got the sleeves on, man. Hey.
What? You know, who started that? Belichick? Did he start that crap?
I don't know, man. But it's something
horrible,
to think about.
Horrible look. Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. Brady, you don't do that, do you?
Oh, no. Well, I'm talking about the sleeveless, too. I mean, suns out, guns sleeveless. Out, man. You got to let them breathe once in a while. That's what I'm saying. I just assumed you were out there. Sermon out there, and then you had the heavy coat on, and then you're like, man, these guys are going to think I'm a wimp. You pull off Hulk Hogan style, rip off that coat, and then bam, there's a tank top underneath that winter coat.
Hey, look, what I learned is I turned 50 6 years ago. That was 6 years ago. I turned 50, and everything got colder quickly. I don't know what it is, man, but I was bundled up, except for I did the same thing you did. I forgot my gloves.
Oh, yes.
It's hard to shoot video that way, though, also. But, I mean, it was bad. You know, there's a tight end, Lewis. He's from Pagosa Springs, and I guarantee you that was his type of weather. He played high school football at Pagosa Springs, and, you know, if he's up there in December or November, that's what it felt like yesterday. He had a really nice practice. Also, the tight ends, very impressive. I mean, just some really good athletes. Mitchell Lewis, that's right. I always forget the Lewis's there. But Fisher Clemens from Idaho and Blake Haggerty, the wide receiver from, you'll see him on the video, number 19. Very good receiver, and he's just kind of coming into his own as well. But, you know, along with Alec Pell, those tight ends, they're dialed in. They look stronger, faster, bigger. So, obviously, they're in the weight room with Coach Hill, and it's been a productive off season. So, it's going to be fun. April 22nd is the spring game. So, you know, we have plenty of time.
I can't wait for that. I know we're working on our plans for that and everything, too. But so, Blake, based on one day of spring practice, undefeated, is that what you're telling me next year? Is that what it's looking like, undefeated?
Man, I am not. There is no way I am even coming close to that.
I had to pull a Tanner here. Hard. Tanner would be he's like, hey, give me the record breakdown right now based on what you saw. Let's go. Give me what it looks like.
Absolutely. And then he would ask me what my favorite bar in Dallas was when I was covering the Cowboys in the 90s.
What is your favorite bar in Dallas, by the way, Blake?
You know what? Uncle Julio's was the greatest restaurant, and they had a pretty good bar. But, you know, honestly, as long as I have my Diet Dr. Pepper, I was happy, man.
Blake, appreciate you, man. Again, I just retweeting your video work. I mean, I love it. I love what you do, and we are so honored to have you as a part of this station here. Loved hearing you on the Preps basketball broadcast, too, but very excited to hear you. I know we got some news with the full team coming up for next fall and everything, but love having you involved in all of it, my man.
All right, boss. You have a good day and great job with everything. Tell Angel to get over that Alabama stuff. I mean, we knew Alabama wasn't going to win the national championship.
Did we? Because I had them go into the national championship. Drew Timmy and whatever his team's called. I had the Drew Timmys winning the title, and apparently that's not happening. We've got Florida Gulf USA or whatever playing in it. So there we go.
That's awesome, man. Look, it's great talking to you, Brady, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Blake. Appreciate you, man. Blake Olson, the voice of the UNC Bears. Go check him out. Follow him on Twitter. It's at Blake Olson, the number one. His video work, second to none on what he's putting together. No, I was talking about sermon sleeves. Like, he's going up here sleeveless, dude. He's not just not wearing a long sleeve shirt underneath, an Under Armour shirt. He's going pull up, cut them off at the top of the shoulder bone there, that top little, right there. I mean, he's going. He's letting those bad boys breathe. I absolutely love it. I couldn't do it now. I'd be dead.
I think Jacob Sermon plays at a different level than the rest of us.
Jacob Sermon's a stud. He's a stud. I'm really excited to see what he can do.
Had some backup stuff last year. I think he even started one or two games.
Yeah, but he never felt confident about whatever he was doing.
Right, I like that Blake kind of mentioned he has that confidence right now. You know, you more than likely you're going to be QB1. So this is your team. Own that.
And last year, as good as he could play lights out. You ain't replacing the coach's son.
Right.
Not in this situation. Maybe in some schools you could. Maybe some coaches could look past that, but they didn't get him here from Michigan for you to replace him. And Ed McCaffrey's, what, second full year of coaching. You're not going to do it. There's not that in front of him anymore. And this isn't a knock on the McCaffreys. It's not a knock on Dylan. But that's what it was about. And for Jacob Sermon, what are you going to do? I mean, you could play the best football in the world. So you're constantly unsure about what your situation is as the quarterback of this team. So I'm excited about that. Thanks to Blake. We'll be catching up with him throughout during spring football to get updates from him throughout this thing. 42 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
It's a lot to keep track of. We still got the Final Four coming up. We got the Nuggets and the Avs on their quest, perhaps. The Avs try to win back-to-back. The Nuggets, of course, maybe could win their first title ever. That's exciting, too. But also, we got football to talk about. We're in spring football mode, as I was freezing my butt off this morning. Blake also was freezing his butt off last night. The voice of the UNC Bears. Blake, my man, the Bears are getting after it with their spring practice as well.
Oh, my. I'm speechless because, man, I haven't been that cold in a long time. Last night, At UNC, that wind was picking up, and all, you know, it was blowing that snow. It had to have been 10 degrees out there when those kids were practicing last night, and they had a great workout in their day one workout and their day one spring practice. But I was freezing, Brady, and my fingers, I swear, I suffered some frostbite somewhere along the way.
Well, that's
the tough thing about spring, though. You know, it's just so difficult in Colorado to play baseball, to run track, to have spring football. It's tough, man, but I credit those kids.
Well, yeah, and you know, clearing off the snow and getting after it out there too.
Yeah,
And then you were able to put together some great footage for us to check out from last night as well. So, Blake, I mean, first impressions. This is Ed Lamb's, you know, first kind of introduction here with this team. We get to see what it's like with spring ball and everything. So, what stood out to you? I mean, again, it's spring ball. It's day one. How much can really stand out to you? But were there a couple of things that you caught that you're like, oh, that's interesting?
Well, I agree with you. I mean, the number one rule that I've always learned is in spring football, you take it with a grain of salt because, you know, you have 10 or 15 guys in rehabilitation typically, you know, and that's what I saw yesterday, including notables like Ty Arrington and Joe Brown, the defensive lineman, and Alec Pell, the great tight end. But what stood out to me was that Ed Lamb not that Ed McCaffrey wasn't, but Ed Lamb is a professional and buttoned up all the way to the top professional, and he has total control of his program and his coaches and the players, and they're going to command respect, and that's what I noticed. He doesn't, you know, obviously a lot of head coaches aren't going to say a lot during a practice or a first spring practice. Some will, but he's not that vocal type that I have seen so far. But you know what? I think I've had maybe three or four people in the last 2 months tell me that Ed Lamb basically ran BYU's program. I mean, and I heard it again last night. And he was the assistant head coach, and he's not LDS, so he's not in the church. I think, you know, he probably was next in line for that head coaching job, but because he's not a Mormon, I don't think you can be a head coach at BYU unless you're LDS, from what I understand. But, I mean, UNC got a guy with, we already know, great experience, and the resume is incredible, and what he did at Southern Utah was incredible. So I think they got the right guy. It's a professional atmosphere, and they had a great practice from what I could tell yesterday.
Yeah, and you know, just talking about that more, and again, you know, I think, Blake, you do a great job not to, you know, the Ed McCaffrey time's done. We're not throwing him under the bus or anything, but, you know, you said it. Ed Lamb is a professional. And I even go back to the spring game last year, Blake, the game itself. You know, we were going to broadcast that, or we did broadcast it. We were told it was going to start at 10. It didn't start till 11. So you're telling me that kind of stuff probably not going to happen. If this is the time, this is when we're going to be there, probably 20 minutes early.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, maybe you will be on military time. Who knows? but I get that feel. There's no question about that. I also heard him say to one of the trainers, which I think is poignant and important here. I think one of the trainers said, "Well, you know, we'll get you special treatment." And he said something to the fact that, "Hey, listen, I don't want you to ever treat me special, okay? I want you to treat me like everyone else. Everyone is treated the same." So, I mean, just little things like that. And once again, I love Coach McCaffrey. I love everyone on his staff. So, you know, it's just it's the nature of the business. And I just, you know, I like this coaching staff, and the players seem to be responding. And every one of the players that I talked to were overjoyed to be back out there, and they were happy with the staff. And you know, I think that's a great sign also in the transfer portal era. I was very happy just to see 20 or 30, you know, familiar faces, players who are returning. A lot of guys who are going to be great leaders and are great, great leaders right now. So I think it's refreshing. I think UNC fans should be optimistic. And at the same time, you know, that's what you do in the spring and in the preseason.
Blake Olson joining us, the voice of the UNC Bears football team. And how much of those guys did you get to talk to as far as the players and everything? You mentioned a couple of those guys that stood out. But, you know, again, you just wonder how much on day one do you get that vibe? Do you get that feel for what this is going to be like? Because we're talking about Ed Lamb coming from a completely different program, BYU. I mean, we're talking fairly big-time college football, and Ed McCaffrey, of course, had the 2 years of high school experience before. So you're going to see a lot of that learning on the fly stuff, not so much learning on the fly. I mean, this is stuff that we already know, so now you get a chance to talk to some of these leaders that I'm sure he's delegating things to.
Yeah, I think a lot of these guys have impressed him, and that's great to see. I mean, I think of a guy like Nick Norris, the defensive lineman, from Fort Morgan, who I don't want to jinx him or anything, but I mean, this is, to me, he's a guy, if he, you know, gains 10, 15 pounds, he may have a chance to play in the NFL in a couple of years. I mean, he's that tight. His motor doesn't stop. He's an unbelievable leader. He is positive. He is, you know, one of those guys that they'll turn to, I'm sure. I'm sure Coach Lamb is happy to see guys like that, you know, returning, you know, to this program. He's been in the weight room. They've been in the weight room for 10 weeks now. So, Vincent King, another one of those guys, and Jordan Napke on defense. I mean, and you look at Tomatuatelli, that, you know, here's a Division I linebacker, a legitimate, you know, a guy who transferred a season ago from Navy. And, man, it's so good to see him on the field and healthy with those three other guys. And the corners and DBs look good. Tywan Harris obviously has matured a lot, made some big plays. Cam Murray is back out there, a veteran leader, extremely mature, great football IQ. And Tyzell Lewis is a playmaker as well. So, I mean, they have the core. And then, you know, the first thing you look at on offense, of course, you have to look at the quarterbacks. And obviously, you're looking for Jacob Sermon. And this dude was out there. And this is crazy. But, I mean, now, true enough, he's throwing the football. But, I mean, it couldn't have been 10 degrees out there with the wind chill. But he has his sleeves cut off, and he didn't seem affected at all. I love how he threw the ball. Shea Kuykendall. He was the third or fourth quarterback last year. He's probably going to be that second or third quarterback this year. He threw the ball well. Two, you know, really quality quarterbacks. So Sermon's going to be fun to watch, and I think the coaching staff really likes him. But, you know, I love the fact that they, you know, they weren't going out there searching for every, you know, new player in the portal. Man, they kept it pretty steady. And I think that's, you know, good to see for Bears fans.
Blake, is Jacob Sermon, I mean, again, we're kind of just assuming he's the guy, right? Is he going to be the quarterback for this team, the starting quarterback?
Well, I would think so. I mean, unless someone comes in and just, you know, shocks the coaching staff in the summer or in the spring, one of those guys, Kuykendall or the two others that I saw out there, you know, just, you know, impress him. But Sermon, man, I mean, he's got a strong arm, obviously, arguably the strongest arm that they've had in the past 3-4 years. He can move. He's athletic. He has unbelievable confidence. Really smart guy. And, yes, I would say he's going to be their guy, but that doesn't mean he can't change. And you always have to have two or three quarterbacks
sure
ready. So it's going to be fun. I mean, you know, they'll be fun to watch, and they're going to be disciplined. One of the great things, you can see it on the video. I don't know if you caught this, but I love this. And I've heard this from two or three coaches in the past year. But this my bad stuff, you know, my bad. I'm gonna pump my chest. That has just killed me for the past 20 years. And this is here's another the offensive coordinator yesterday saying, we're not doing this my bad stuff, right? We're going to fix it. We're going to do it. We know it's your bad. If you ruin the play or you drop the ball or you didn't execute properly, we know it's your fault. It's your bad. Let's fix it. So I heard that from a high school basketball coach at the state tournament a few weeks ago. And I'm just laughing to myself, like, oh, finally, we're starting to get rid of that thing, you know?
Well, Angel, write that down. Now we know what not to say in front of Blake. Can you just write that? We got the words to write down. We got to take that. Blake, you're telling me, I'm watching the video now. Amazing work by you. I just love your video work. And I know you and I are, you know, in the lab. We're working on some ideas maybe for next year. Because you just do a fantastic job with this. And I'm seeing Jacob Sermon going sleeveless, pulling them up, suns out, guns out. You mean to tell me you didn't go sleeveless last? I just assumed you were out there sleeveless, man.
That is the worst look. I'm sorry, man.
You gotta let those guns breathe once in a while, Blake.
I'm sorry, man. I kind of consider myself a little bit of a cowboy. I always wanted to be a cowboy, but man, that is just a stupid look. I apologize.
Everybody else has got the sleeves on, man.
Hey. What? You know, who started that? Belichick? Did he start that crap?
I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. But it's something
it's
to think about.
Horrible look. Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. Brady, you don't do that, do you?
Oh, no. Well, I'm talking about the sleeveless, too. I mean, suns out, guns sleeveless. Out, man. You got to let them breathe once in a while. That's what I'm saying. I just assumed you were out there. Sermon out there, and then you had the heavy coat on, and then you're like, man, these guys are going to think I'm a wimp. You pull off Hulk Hogan style, rip off that coat, and then bam, there's a tank top underneath that winter coat.
Hey, look, what I learned is I turned 56 years ago. That was 6 years ago. I turned 50, and everything got colder quickly. I don't know what it is, man, but I was bundled up, except for I did the same thing you did. I forgot my gloves.
Oh, yes.
It's hard to shoot video that way, though, also. But, I mean, it was bad. You know, there's a tight end, Lewis. He's from Pagosa Springs, and I guarantee you that was his type of weather. He played high school football at Pagosa Springs, and, you know, if he's up there in December or November, that's what it felt like yesterday. He had a really nice practice. Also, the tight ends, very impressive. I mean, just some really good athletes. Mitchell Lewis, that's right. I always forget the Lewis is there. But Fisher Clemens from Idaho and Blake Haggerty, the wide receiver from, you'll see him on the video, number 19. Very good receiver, and he's just kind of coming into his own as well. But, you know, along with Alec Pell, those tight ends, they're dialed in. They look stronger, faster, bigger. So, obviously, they're in the weight room with Coach Hill, and it's been a productive off season. So, it's going to be fun. April 22nd is the spring game, so... we have plenty of time.
I can't wait for that. I know we're working on our plans for that and everything, too. But so, Blake, based on one day of spring practice, undefeated, is that what you're telling me next year? Is that what it's looking like, undefeated?
Man, I am not. There is no way I am even coming close to that.
I had to pull a Tanner here. Tanner would be he's like, hey, give me the record breakdown right now based on what you saw. Let's go. Give me what it looks like.
Absolutely. And then he would ask me what my favorite bar in Dallas was when I was covering the Cowboys in the 90s.
What is your favorite bar in Dallas, by the way, Blake?
You know what? Uncle Julio's was the greatest restaurant, and they had a pretty good bar. But, you know, honestly, as long as I have my Diet Dr. Pepper, I was happy, man.
Blake, appreciate you, man. Again, I just retweeting your video work. I mean, I love it. I love what you do, and we are so honored to have you as a part of this station here. Loved hearing you on the Preps basketball broadcast, too, but very excited to hear you. I know we got some news with the full team coming up for next fall and everything, but love having you involved in all of it, my man.
All right, boss. You have a good day and great job with everything. Tell Angel get over that Alabama stuff. I mean, please. We knew Alabama wasn't going to win the national championship.
Did we? Because I had them going to the national championship. Drew Timmy and his, whatever his team's called. I had the Drew Timmies winning the title, and apparently that's not happening. We've got Florida Gulf USA or whatever playing in it. So there we go.
That's awesome, man. Look, it's great talking to you, Brady, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Blake. Appreciate you, man. Blake Olson, the voice of the UNC Bears. Go check him out. Follow him on Twitter. It's at Blake Olson, the number one. His video work, second to none on what he's putting together. No, I was talking about sermon sleeves. Like, he's going up here sleeveless, dude. He's not just not wearing a long sleeve shirt underneath, an Under Armour shirt. He's going pull up, cut them off at the top of the, at the shoulder bone there, that top little, right there. I mean, he's going. He's letting those bad boys breathe. I absolutely love it. I couldn't do it now. I'd be dead.
I think Jacob Sermon plays at a different level than the rest of us.
Jacob Sermon's a stud. He's a stud. I'm really excited to see what he can do.
Had some backup stuff last year. I think he even started one or two games.
Yeah, but he never felt confident about whatever he was doing.
Right, I like that Blake kind of mentioned he has that confidence right now. You know, you more than likely you're going to be QB1. So this is your team. Own that.
And last year, as good as he could play lights out. You ain't replacing the coach's son.
Right.
Not in this situation. Maybe in some schools you could. Maybe some coaches could look past that, but they didn't get him here from Michigan for you to replace him. And Ed McCaffrey's, what, second full year of coaching. You're not going to do it. There's not that in front of him anymore. And this isn't a knock on the McCaffreys. It's not a knock on Dylan. But that's what it was about. And for Jacob Sermon, what are you going to do? I mean, you could play the best football in the world. So you're constantly unsure about what your situation is as the quarterback of this team. So I'm excited about that. Thanks to Blake. We'll be catching up with him throughout during spring football to get updates from him throughout this thing. 42 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what I learned today, first and foremost, Sean Payton ain't messing around. He doesn't care if he hurts your feelings. He doesn't care if he hurts Hackett's feelings, Sutton's feelings, Judy's feelings. He is going to say what's on his mind. He's going to talk about what they're really doing here. And they may be still trading Jerry, Judy, and Cortland Sutton, but he's still saying the right things. For better or worse, he ain't messing around. What'd you learn today on Gel?
Nikola Jokic is, and will always be, the three-time MVP of the Denver Nuggets.
He's winning.
It's in.
It's done.
My vote is in.
Your vote is in. It's over.
Game decided it last night.
Joel Embiid could score 100 points tomorrow night against Dallas. And it's done.
So if you want this trophy so bad, you got to come into my house and take it.
What did Ric Flair say? What did Ric Flair say? You want to be the best?
You got to beat the best.
Woo. They would do that really wild and crazy.
Woo.
Isaiah Rivera has entered the transfer portal from Colorado State, so another local player that we've come to kind of know over the years. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.